whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Let me catch up on your post, but Kenosha from Clinton, Mississippi says, Cedric, the plight of blacks killing other blacks is a national and international problem. It exists throughout the African diaspora. It is high time that we connect the issues of race, family breakdown, poverty, unemployment, drugs, crime, and hopelessness and build a movement around that. Natasha, on the point previously dealing with Obama, she's saying to compare Obama to slaves with an Uncle Tom mentality is a bit over the top. Say what you want, but I prefer my son be able to look in his school book and see an image of power looking back at him than the subconscious sentiment of only seeing white faces. James from Hayward, California says, Natasha, Minister Farrakhan tells black people to clean up more often than Obama. However, he also has no fear of whites and will point out their dirt as well. Obama speaks of our shortcomings only to appeal to whites. Be real about it, please. I want Glenn from Philly to call in. I want to defend. I have a new liberation struggle. Free the short sellers. I need Glenn from Philly's help to start a movement in defense of short selling. Unless it's against African currencies and black owned businesses, then I will not. How you like that? Escape clause. That's me. There's no political straitjacket that you can keep me in. So come on, send in more comments. I will go a few more minutes over the top. I think this is Big Glenn. Hold on, folks. Hold on. Black Coffee. Hey, Glenn, hold on. I'm going to bring you right on, all right? This is the great one. It's Glenn, y'all. Hold on. Bring this in. Yeah, my big brother Glenn. Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about it. Hey, listen. We got people, you know, all kinds of problems in the stock market, et cetera. But let's start off with the most important issue. Let's talk about the 76ers signing Elton Brand, baby. Let's talk about it.
That's a great signing. I know in Philly, people were talking about it was going back and forth between Josh Smith and Elton Brand, but I'm glad they got Brand because he could play with his back to the basket.
Well, I was actually one of those that was feeling Josh Smith more because I'm worried about, you know, Elton Brand getting hurt. But once I saw him, I saw him at the press conference and I started to do the ultimate, brother, which shows I have no life. I tried that lineup out on PlayStation, brother, and it was victorious.
And plus, you know what, I think he'll love playing with Andre Miller. I think he'll get a lot of easy shots playing with Andre Miller at the point.
That's right. This is where Andre Miller is very important to be the glue of that team, you know?
Yeah, so definitely. And if they do add a couple of outside shooters,
yes,
that, if they double down on Elton Brand, you can kick it out to, you know, they'll be able to make a run, at least at the East. It'll be tough because Boston is still nice. But
right. Well, Glenn, I thought of you, man. I know you're busy. But, you know, when I saw this headline, you know, SEC moves to curb short selling.
Right.
I said, hold up now. I ain't with that, man. How do you feel about this 30-day moratorium on short selling against Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? And it also keeps you from short selling against the financial firms?
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like too much overregulation. And plus, it's leftist regulation. And in terms of shorting, I think you were mentioning before, it does kind of keep the market honest. I know a lot of people demonize short sellers, but with short sellers, the purpose that short sellers serve is they'll recognize something in the stock price that shouldn't necessarily be there. Like if there's something wrong with the stock, short seller will actually, you know, correct that action, bring the stock price back in line with what it really should be. And what happens is that avoids people who try to actually run the stock up. I know you talked about financial analysts. Sometimes their recommendations may not be exactly what they would do if they were actually investing the money, you know, allegedly. So what short sellers do, they keep the market honest. Now, you do have a situation where some short sellers try to manipulate the market and try to put negative information out there to drive the stock price down.
Right.
You know, that's not right. But overall, I don't like them selectively targeting things that cannot be shorted.
Well,
you know, either shorting is right or is wrong.
Yeah, and this is my problem. I mean, they're doing it to defend the banking community, man. Damn.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
You know, they would never do this for any other sector.
Mm-hmm.
And so Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and 17 financial firms, including Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, Morgan Stanley, and Merrill Lynch, you cannot bet against their stock price is going down.
Right.
I mean,
right. I definitely don't agree with that. I mean, either you're going to be in favor of free markets or you're not. Like, you can't really, I don't see how you can really have it both ways. You know, at least in my opinion. Like you said, they won't do that for other industries. I mean, it's just specifically targeted towards Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and these selected institutions.
And for the record, I'm not a purist. I'm against, right. I'm against short selling against any black owned company and all African currencies.
Right.
But I put my hypocrisy out front, brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, so what's going on with the markets, man? Are they treating you good, brother?
Doing all right. I actually tried to take some notes for you today. The market is actually up a lot. And I think a lot of it starts. See, in the morning, the futures, if I remember correctly, were actually pointing down. Right around 10:35, when those inventory numbers came out for oil, they came out a lot higher than what people were expecting. So oil started selling off. Like, oil was down a lot today, and it was down significantly yesterday, I believe. And that, in turn, I believe, you know, built up some confidence in the stock market because it was up like, it's up over 200 points last time I looked. It may not be there this second, but it's been up. It's been a good day for all three major indices. Also, Bernanke had his testimony again today, and he kind of, I won't say reverse course because he didn't, but he reiterated in a statement that he is, I believe the Fed's focus is to stabilize financial conditions as opposed to holding off inflation. So I think what that indicates is that they'll probably hold off on raising interest rates when people are starting to call for them to do. To strengthen, you know, to strengthen the dollar. I actually kind of am kind of in that camp in terms of I kind of advocate a strong dollar. It's fairly weak right now, but you know, we'll see. Also, CPI, Consumer Price Index, like prices came out today, and it was like the highest it has been in years. So eventually we're gonna have to deal with this inflation issue.
Now, I actually felt sorry for Ben Bernanke. He looked like Bambi up there, man.
Yeah,
I felt bad, man. I actually said, why do I feel sorry for Ben Bernanke? Man, he looked like he ain't got no sleep in like 3 weeks, and they was just beating him down brutally.
Yeah, they go at him hard. Yesterday they were going at Hank Daddy Paulson a little bit.
Oh yeah, the real power behind the throne. I tell everybody, Hank Daddy Paulson is running this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Bernanke's had he's probably had a tiring week because he's got to answer all the questions in regards, you know, to the economy. It's not an exact science. And the same people who are asking for him to cut interest rates several months ago, they're the ones who are getting on him for, you know, the dollar being weak.
Well, I knew it was bad. You know it's bad when you don't defend yourself. You just let them say whatever. I mean, he looked like Jesus coming before the cross, man. He said, I'm not even going to defend myself. I just want this thing to be over as quickly as possible. I'll take anything. So, well, that's good, man. You know, I cannot let you get off before I tell everybody, go to www.foundationllc.com. That's FoundationLLC.com. Glenn is a founder and partner. What are you all looking at, you know, without giving away your tips, but what's
oh yeah, no problem. Right now, in terms of investing in stocks, we look at that from like a long-term perspective. So we're actually looking for some things on discount. Now, in terms of like the
can I recommend Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to you, brother?
Those are an extreme discount. I think they're up today, but my gosh, like the past couple of days they've been getting slammed. I'm still leery of the financials. I don't try to call bottoms. You know, I don't like to get in at the very bottom. You know, they say some people advocate like, you know, buy high and then sell higher. You know, I want to see some strength in the financials. We bought Visa. Visa was actually doing pretty good.
Brother, you know what? It's so funny. I just been reading Visa's prospectus when they went public. I've been reading the 512 pages of Visa's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before they went public, they put out a 512 page prospectus. A prospectus, everybody, is a description of what you are about to get into when you buy the stock. But so, how's Visa treating you?
Give thanks to Pierre for picking that one. He was eyeing that IPO for months before it came out. The beauty in Visa is that there's very little exposure to you know, the credit risk. Like, that's not how, they don't make their money based on whether or not credit card bills get paid. You know, Visa makes their money off of transactions. So every time someone actually uses a Visa, debit card, a credit card, that's how they make their money, on the actual transaction fee. It's not dependent on whether or not the person who bought that particular item actually pays for it. With everything seeming to move towards a cashless society, you know, more and more, you know, more people are using their Visa card. So it has been very positive for us. We're also trying to make a kind of long-term play on the dollar to a certain, you know, we believe within like the next 2 years that the Fed is going to have to increase rates because inflation will just get out of hand. So if they increase rates, that should lead to a stronger dollar. So that's kind of what we're dealing with now. And then we always seem to have a little bit of money in oil as well as gold, just in terms of hedging.
Well, you know, I heard somebody today say that gold and the Swiss franc are the new currency of the world. I don't know. But gold is at around, what, 960 today?
I think so.
Yeah, so. Okay, man. Well, one other thing before I let you go. Are you down with my movement to get a white three-point shooter to the 76ers?
Oh, absolutely.
You got to have a white man shooting at long range, right?
Absolutely. It's got to be like water.
That's right.
You know, it's called on the playground.
That's right. I need that. I need J.J. Redick or Steve Novak.
J.J. Redick is probably available because he doesn't get much time with it yet. So he can definitely knock it down.
Yeah, he's coming cheap. He's on that bench. And Steve Novak, I heard he's not even playing in the Houston Rockets Summer League. So he's available.
Oh, wow.
So brother Ed Stefanski, honorary black man, GM of the 76ers.
Stefanski's been doing good.
Yeah, he's black. He's black until he messes up, brother.
Absolutely.
Because unfortunately, the real deal black GM that preceded him, Billy King, was just not getting it done, brother.
Nah, he wasn't, especially with those contracts.
Oh, man. I hate to say it. Him and Isaiah Thomas have set back black liberation 20 years.
Yeah, Isaiah, I think, had a whole league fold underneath him, I believe.
the CBA, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite play. I wore number 11 because Isaiah Thomas and everything, but my goodness.
Well, maybe we need Obama just to get over the memory of Isaiah's reign. I don't know. Positive imagery, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, brother, you take care. Make some money, man. And we'll get the Free the Short Sellers t-shirts made up next week.
You know what? I'll be the first one to buy one.
That's right. Glenn from Philly, folks. All right. Take care, brother. Be safe, man.
Take care. You too.
Peace. It's Big Glenn. I love what he and the brothers do at Foundation LLC, Foundation Investments Group LLC. They do real estate, equity, and community development. Beautiful. So www.foundationllc. Now, I think I got a fight going between Natasha and James, a jousting session, a battle of ideas, a war of words. So I think I'll let the show ride out on whatever they're going to do. Let me catch up. James from Hayward, California. He says that the Celtics have lost James Posey. I missed that. Where did he go? Detroit? Clippers? San Antonio? These are the teams that I heard were interested in James Posey. Natasha says, James, I have mad respect for the minister. But in the scheme of politics, what is it exactly that you expect from Obama and still maintain a realistic chance of winning the president of the United States position? If you anticipate him to deliver the message in the same manner as the minister, then you will always be disappointed. I have followed the race as a political junkie, and Obama's political savvy is in the highest percentile. In regard to how he speaks when in a black church, please elaborate on how his cadence and manner is any different than the pastor or any public speaker knows that you alter your content and delivery, depending upon the audience. And please, many in black churches expect the show. I have heard Barack talk in general terms about the need for us to all step up, of which his is criticized by whites as well for seeming to put himself on a pedestal, and then see him being more specific to blacks in regard to our issues. We cannot have it both ways and say we want politicians to speak to our issues, but only when our issues aren't caused by us. Because based on your argument, your beef is when he speaks about our issues that are within our control. As you say, let's be real about it. Barack Obama should go on to be president of the United States is bigger than his lectures to black men. A lecture, mind you, someone needs to give. And if we choose not to see the significance of a black family that doesn't ooze the stereotypical aspects of what the masses think of the black community and steer away from what whites deem as scary, see the opinion of Michelle Obama, I truly respect, by many in our communities, not ours, then it is truly lost on you, James. But I hope I can share a different point of view as we move closer to Election Day. May I ask, who are you voting for, James? Natasha wants to know who the James brothers are voting for. James in Trent, New Jersey, and James in California. Elijah from Portland. He says, peace, family. Thank you, Cedric, for this forum. I am enjoying it. This may be off the subject, but have you wrote any essays or writings about hip-hop? I read the Hip Hop Fridays articles on blackelectorate.com, but do you have some in-depth essays on the culture in the website archive? Well, if you've read all of the Hip Hop Friday stuff, then you got it all covered, Elijah, brother. You now have to tune in every Wednesday to get the latest insight on hip hop from me. It is all verbal now. James, if you want to respond, I'll hold up. I'll pump the brakes on my departure. Pernell from College Park, Maryland, he says, Cedric, James Posey signed with the New Orleans Hornets. Oh, man. Wow. 4 years, $25 million. It's all about the Benjamin, said Pernell. Peace, Pernell. Thank you. Man, New Orleans might be nice. They got James Posey now? Whew. Let me see if I've covered all my bases today. Speaking about basketball, let me talk about Brandon Jennings, the high school phenom who is now going to play in Europe in his first year. I support this. I support a young brother leaving high school to go get money in Europe, not the NCAA chattel slavery or the NBA where they limit how much money you can make because you're a 19-year-old. No, Brandon, take it to Europe. Get paid, baby.
Brandon Jennings. The number one player in the country who was signed with Arizona and was going to be the cornerstone for this year for the Wildcats program is headed overseas. The word I got is that he did not pass his test score. There's been a lot of speculation. The date to receive the test score has been pushed back and back. And part of it, from what I've been told, is because he wanted the bargaining power to deal with Europe and deal with some of the teams overseas. Now, obviously, you know, the word has gotten out, and whether he's already had a deal in place with Europe, who knows right now. I spoke to Lute Olson yesterday. He did not think that Brandon Jennings was going to show up at Arizona. From all indications, they kind of shut down communication a little bit with Arizona, and he's headed to Europe. Now we'll see what type of effect this has on other players that might follow suit. Guys also in the 09 class like Renardo Sidney and Lance Stevenson, but Brandon Jennings, huge. But more importantly, does he become that guy that's kind of a trendsetter and other guys follow? Certainly Sonny Vaccaro, the former shoe company czar, was involved here in trying to get Brandon Jennings to do this, and he has done it at this point. Brandon Jennings does not qualify and appears to be headed overseas to Europe.
I like that. Let me applaud that, brother. Get money, brother. Yeah, that's right. Just because you fail your test scores don't mean you got to submit to the NAACP. Is that a Freudian slip? The NCAA and the NBA. Get money in Europe, brother Brandon. Brandon Jennings getting Europe, getting Euros. I like that. Could care less what man couldn't pass the test to qualify to play. He said, later for this. I got millions waiting for me in Europe. Then I'll come to the NBA when I feel like it. Thank you, Pernell. Oh, Eleazar says, from Brooklyn. Speaking about hip hop, Cedric, what happened to the Immortal Technique album? Did you check it out? Oh yeah, I'm gonna have Immortal. I'm gonna reach out for Immortal, who I know, have him come on the show. Immortal Technique was at Savior's Day too, by the way. Gave a great presentation. Rod Guignard says, good show, young Reverend Cedric. I don't have to say how I support Natasha from Miami's posts. She offers the pragmatic approach to the Obama campaign. Let's get him elected first, with all due respect to Cynthia McKinney. James from Hayward, California, he says, I was all for Obama. I even donated to his campaign. But ever since the Reverend Wright issue and his constant wimping out, I want my money back. He's not who I thought he was. Mark 8, verse 36. James from Hayward, California. Wow. What kind of mood am I in at 4:25 Eastern time? Everybody get the book, Maddening Behaviors. Some I hear, a lot I see. I want to thank Nicole Shivers for joining us and her co-author, Tara Nichols. Excellent book. Read this book. You can whiff it down easily. Very well written. It's funny. It's holds your attention very well. They did an excellent job. Rod Guignard letting let me tell you all what happened. I need to go to a movie. Let me show you how gangster Rod Guignard is. Now, you all know I speak subliminally to the audience through movie clips sometimes. Oh, James from Hayward, California. Natasha wants to know who you're voting for. She says you still didn't say who you're voting for, James. Now, I don't know if y'all peeped it, what Rod Guignard just did. Rod Guignard is gangster. He just did something. Let me see if I can find something from a movie that will explain what he just did. Hopefully I still have this. You know, certain things are subtle. You don't need to, you don't need to elaborate overtly.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Maybe I can't. I think I blew it. This is terrible. Yeah, I think I lost it. But what Rod Guignard did on behalf of Tasha from Miami was so slick, so subtle. Maybe next week I'll replay this portion of the show and be prepared to show you what happened. Fareed Zachariah, tell us what we don't do as black people in support of our causes.
Don't vote. Don't write campaign contribution checks. Don't write op-eds in newspapers. By and large, don't call into shows like this. Don't vote. Don't write campaign contribution checks. Don't write op-eds in newspapers. By and large, don't call into shows like this.
Okay, I think I found it. This is what this is a description of Rod Guignard. Listen carefully to the end. This is what Rod Guignard did in front of James of Hayward, California, in reference to the Queen, Natasha from Miami.
You know, when he takes any dope, heroin, LSD, marijuana, pill.
No, he don't even smoke.
Okay, now this is Natasha from Miami talking about Rod Guignard.
He ain't no junkie, baby.
He's had a tendency to boast, brag about himself.
He don't talk about himself at all. Most regular tricks want to tell you the story of their whole lives.
To gamble?
If you do, I don't know about it. Took him to a joint one night. Craps, poker. If he get in, I get a cut. But he just stand around and look.
What'd you say? Violent? Uncontrollable temper?
Temper? No. He'll never lose his cool. But people don't give him no shit.
How do you mean?
Okay, this is the key line. This is Natasha from Miami talking about Rod Guignard from Culver City, California. This is the key line that reveals what Rod just did on behalf of Natasha.
He's one of them quiet kind of cats that people just don't mess with. Like that time I was telling you about? The cat that owned it owed me some bread. Started to get off the wall about it. Then he checked out Freeman. Just standing there, quiet, digging the action. And the cat, bad, make two of Freeman. Check out Freeman. Look at me. Give me my bread. Thought about that night.
Yeah.
He ain't my man or nothing like that, but I know that if I got in trouble, he'd be in it.
Yeah.
I think he'd be real bad once he get going, too.
And that's what you heard when Rod Guignard said, I don't have to say how I support Natasha's posts. James from Hayward, California says he's voting for Cynthia McKinney now. That's where I'm 55% leaning in that direction myself, James. There's an outside chance I still may vote for Brother Obama. Let me help tighten you all up. This Black-owned bank initiative is about to kick off with blackelectorate.com. But let's talk to you about your accounts. This country's in trouble, but if we were to now, I don't want to say it like this, let me suggest. Let's say hypothetically Black people took their money out of certain institutions and put them in others. Not only would we gain in political power, but we would strengthen our communities and our relationships with the lending institutions closest to us. I may get into that next week. But here's what's up with the FDIC. Listen up.
The collapse of troubled bank IndyMac marks the second biggest U.S. bank ever to fail. And the news is raising speculation that more companies in that sector could be in serious trouble down the road. CNBC's Jane Wells is in San Marino, California, with a look at the fallout fears surrounding IndyMac. Jane.
Melissa, we actually came to a second branch to see if it was crowded too. And yes, there's still lines out the door. They've been bringing customers in small groups all day ever since the FDIC reopened the bank's doors at 9 a.m. It has been mostly orderly, though at the main branch in Pasadena, one woman in the crowd fell and paramedics came. As for the money, customers' deposits here are mostly insured, but some are not, including some money belonging to Charles Tingiri, who was first in line. He got here at 4 a.m. His life savings, $236,000, is spread across five IndyMac accounts, which he thought protected him. It did not.
This is a Black man, folks. That's right. The first person in line at IndyMac to get their money out was a Black man. This is a sign of things to come.
The tellers told me if I split the accounts this way, I should be able to get it all out. But the way they were telling me yesterday when I came in here, they said you have to have it in different names, not the same name.
Now, Tingiri went inside the bank and knew probably the best he could get was $168,000 out of his $236,000. He actually did a little better. He got $171,000.
I'm happy, but I'd rather get all the money back, but I'm happy with what I got.
Are you hopeful that you'll get the rest?
I'm hopeful. I'm keeping my fingers crossed because I have a full trust and full trust in the U.S. government that they're going to do it.
All right. Who is next? Well, RBC Capital Markets says there are 300 banks that are at risk. This proves that some banks are not too big to fail. Now the FDIC must try to sell IndyBank in whole or in parts over the next 90 days. It has a large list, Melissa, of banks which are interested in buying assets, but so far, no offers for IndyMac. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Jane Wells. Meantime, the FDIC is stressing that the takeover of IndyMac will have little effect on most customers. Keep in mind, though, when a bank shuts down, traditional accounts are insured up to $100,000. But what happens if you've got more than $100,000 in the bank? CNBC's Sharon Epperson has some answers.
Most IndyMac customers can say their money is safe. About 265,000 of them have about $18 billion in deposits insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or FDIC.
In the 75-year history of the FDIC, no insured depositor has ever lost a single penny.
But what about the 10,000 IndyMac customers with potentially $1 billion worth of uninsured deposits? IndyMac will give them 50 cents on the dollar right away and maybe more later on, but that's not typical or required. The FDIC insures up to $100,000 in bank deposit accounts and up to $250,000 for an individual retirement account. Keeping accounts at different banks or having separate individual and joint accounts can allow you to have more money insured. Cash and securities in a brokerage protection corporation, or SIPC, but not to the same degree as the FDIC.
It's our job to get you the correct number of shares, the correct number of bonds, but the underlying value of those shares or bonds could go way up or way down.
So it's important to look over your bank and brokerage statements to see how much money you have in cash and CDs and other securities and find out where it's all stashed. For the closing bell, I'm Sharon Epperson.
There are tremendous concerns in the marketplace about the sustainability of regional banks and whether they continue to fare to operate. Let's go straight to Sheila Bair. She's the chair of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Let's ask her about the state of the regional banks these days. Sheila, it is great to have you with us.
Thank you.
Certainly, there are a lot of concerns in the marketplace. We did see regional banks across the board, no matter who they were, no matter what issue, what statements they were issuing, sell off today. So certainly, there is some sort of crisis in confidence here in the market when it comes to these banks. What can you tell us about the state of the banks today?
Well, I can tell you the overwhelming majority are safe and sound, and the chance that your individual bank is going to fail is extremely remote. Capital levels are strong. We do have about 90 banks on the trouble bank list. As at the end of the first quarter, that number is going to go up, and the assets on that trouble bank list are going to go up. But a very small percentage of those actually fail. Generally, they're nursed back to health or acquired by a stronger institution, and those are still pretty historically low numbers. So yes, banks do fail. There's nothing unusual about that. We've been doing this for years, and the important thing for insured depositors to know is that it's okay. Your insured deposits are absolutely safe. No insured depositor has ever lost a penny of money throughout the FDIC's 70 years history. So
right.
Insured depositors are quite safe. They shouldn't worry.
There was an RBC Capital Markets report out there, Sheila, right, saying, and I'm sure you've heard about this today, that 300 banks are in risk of failure over the next 3 years. Is that an overstatement? What can you tell us? Because that certainly sparked a lot of fear in the marketplace.
Right. Well, I don't make a lot of predictions. I would note there are about 8,500 depository institutions in this country. I don't make predictions. We do on a quarterly basis disclose our trouble bank list, which are those with very low supervisory ratings. As I said, there are 90 as of the end of the first quarter, about $26 billion in assets. It's going to go up. But again, a small percentage of those actually do fail. But the capital levels continue to be strong. Sure, banks are in a more challenging credit environment right now. The mortgage problem, the housing problems continue to persist and increase in their challenges presented to the banking sector and the entire financial services industry. We're hopeful that Congress will be finalizing action on their housing bill. We think housing continues to be the core of the more broader economic problems.
Right.
But banks were well positioned going into this. They were coming off several years of record earnings and strong capital. So they're still in a very good position to weather it.
Sheila, I want to ask you about some headlines that we're running across our screen right now. An action that you have taken, halting some IndyMac foreclosures. What does that mean for mortgage holders out there?
Well, there's IndyMac had about a $200 billion mortgage servicing portfolio. Most of that is owned by other investors, but $15 billion of that was owned by IndyMac and is now owned by the FDIC. So yes, we have suspended foreclosures for that portion of the servicing portfolio. We'd like to look at those loans case by case to see if the loans can be modified if they're owner-occupied with good faith borrowers who would like to stay in their home and can't afford some reasonable level of mortgage payment. The foreclosure, the discounts on foreclosed homes, especially in California now, are pretty significant. So we think it will almost always be the case that a modified loan will be worth more than a foreclosed loan. So as the new owner of this $15 billion in mortgages, we'd like to see if we can help borrowers and maximize value to the receivership in the same process.
I do want to get back to the issue of the safety of regional banks and the problem list. You have a problem list. You've got 90 banks with about $26 billion in assets on that list. As of March 31st, IndyMac was not on the list, and yet there are some Wall Street analysts who said that if you took a look at the FDIC data on March 31st, IndyMac would have been, would have sent a lot of signals out there that it was in trouble.
Well,
do you think you missed the boat on this
actually,
one?
We only disclose the trouble bank list on a quarterly basis. IndyMac was actually, it went on in early June. It was on the trouble bank list. But again, we only disclose the aggregate numbers on a quarterly basis, and we never for an open bank disclose the name of institutions on that trouble bank list. So there can be a time lag between when we're publicly disclosed. Also, there were accelerated deposit withdrawals for this institution because of public scrutiny over it. And I think that probably accelerated the situation. The institution clearly had a lot of troubles, but I think accelerated deposit withdrawals perhaps sped up the time that we had to, the OTS had to go in and close the institution.
Okay. Ms. Baer, thanks very much for your time.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
See, I would have been very remiss if I did not cover that. Very soon, big announcement on the Black-Owned Bank Initiative. Very soon. From Columbia, Maryland, he says, people need to know about the tangible asset savings account. Natasha says, I knew I had a question for you and Glenn. What are these continued rumblings I am hearing about Washington Mutual? Are they in trouble? A real collapse potential? Any merit to this persistent rumor? Kinda. Maybe next week, Natasha. Ellie's off from Brooklyn says, don't forget about Washington Mutual. They have lost 30% of their shares. It is the end, baby. I can't wait. Black man's heaven is a white man's hell. Ellie's off from Brooklyn. Ellie's also says, it's funny that you said that, Cedric. I'm about to close my Bank of America account and transfer all my funds to One United, keeping it real. Hold on, Ellie's off. Wait. Just a few more days before you do that, brother. We're going to give an order soon. I might have to act like a general, since black people are so used to taking orders and trained. I might have to try it out. Got something in mind. And Natasha says, that's right. Rob Ginyard has my back all the time, or at least respectfully disagrees. And secondly, why, James, are you voting for Cynthia McKinney? What is your rationale? Said, you already know my thoughts on a vote wasted to make a point. Oh, man, Tasha just stabbed me and James. Mm-hmm. I think I've covered it. Tasha says, man, I wish I had over $100,000 in the bank to be worried about. I got to build that net worth. That was good, Natasha. Almost. All right. You know what? Natasha and Rod Ginyard's relationship has been developing for some time. I channeled them through that movie. That was Natasha from Miami speaking. And now I have found a song that I have to interpolate. For years, I didn't know who this was, you know, going back and forth. But after giving it careful consideration, I think this
Yo,
is...
Yo, Jinx, man, we got to find somebody that's down for her,
yeah,
man.
This is...
All these girls sipping.
This is Rod Ginyard category. And Natasha, listen up.
Yo, Jinx, man, we got to find somebody that's down for her, man. All these girls sipping, man. Who you think fit the category? Category. 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 Category.
My name is Yo-Yo. I'm not a one-one. I like to flow so swift.
Now listen carefully. You saw the way Rod Ginyard stepped to James from Hayward, California when he saw him bringing it to Natasha. I think I'm going to end the show on this. I'll see y'all next week. If you want to email me, cedric@blackcoffeechannel.com. From the top again, this is Rod Ginyard introducing Natasha.
Yo, Jinx, man, we got to find somebody that's down for hers, man. All these girls sipping, man. Who you think fit the category? Category. 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 Category.
My name is Yo-Yo. I'm not a one-one. I like to flow so swift. It's got to be a gift. So, yo, let the beat lift as I riff and rhyme and rap and slap all the girls who can't adapt to the fact I hit the eight ball often. The earrings I wear are called dolphins. Check the booty. Yo, it's kind of soft, and if you touch it, you're living in a coffin. I'm in the 90s, you're still in the 80s, right? I rock the mic, they say I'm not ladylike, but I'm a lady, but we don't pull a stunt though. I kill suckers and even hit the block, so what you wanna do, you must play it wrong. Cause to me, you simply can't get none. You're wetter, a hotter, and it's not televised.
No, you can't wait for my yo-yo.
Ending whackness in the name of blackness. You are listening to the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Show only at blackcoffeechannel.com.
Yeah, that's, you thought that was Ice Cube. That's really Rod Ginyard talking about Natasha from Miami. I'll see y'all next week.
What's your name?
Jams, it's getting cozy. Yeah.
of the old prophets. Old prophets
you can't play
stood on the wall as watch. If we are on our job, we are watching. What are you watching for? If you were in the army and you were given a post to stand guard, you're standing guard over something of value. Sleeping on your post is dangerous. In wartime, it's punishable by death. Watchmen, get up on the wall. Watchmen, watch out for the sheep. Watchmen, the wolves come to eat the sheep. Watchmen, sound the alarm. Watchmen, go out and kill the wolf that wants to kill the sheep. Watchmen, get on your job. But if the watchman falls asleep on the wall, then the sheep get eaten up by the wolves.